today's sales professionals are challenged to establish trusting relationships with the right prospects. They face buyers that choose to self-educate and not engage with a salesperson until they're ready to begin the buying process. With social selling, sales professionals use social networks and digital content to build their professional brand, their company's brand, and create experiences that enable buyers to buy. Welcome to the Linking into Sales podcast, the social selling podcast hosted by Martin Brossman and Greg Heyer. Let's start Linking into Sales.
Hello, this is Martin Brossman.
I'm Greg Heyer.
In the new year, and
I'm Elise Archer.
Welcome to 2016, everybody, and welcome to episode 84. And we're in at least two different places today. Exciting. And we're excited to kick off for the new year on developing that social selling routine.
Yeah, we were thinking about, all the other components or all the other blog posts that are happening out there talking about how you need to get your new routine down, get into the gym, start doing your sit-ups and crunches and push-ups and all that stuff, and then quit at the end of February. But what we really want you to do is to take this episode, hear some of the components that we're going to be sharing about social selling routine, and we kind of lined this up so that way we can go through, you just have some discussions, let's share one of our routines, and then also have some insights too.
And we want to hear about your routines as well.
Right, exactly. So first, let's get into some real quick social selling news. We have had some discussions about with a couple listeners about how they've somehow lost the ability to search within groups for specific members. That's definitely frustrating. Because
it's a bummer.
It's huge. So I still have access to it, and hopefully LinkedIn isn't listening and removes it from me. But you can, before, you used to have the ability to go into your new LinkedIn group format and then click on all the members, and then you would get a list of all of your members there. But right above the full list was a search bar, and it allowed you to take and actually do a search. You could search by name. But that was all you could search by. Actually, according to some of the discussions in the group moderator group, which is the official group of LinkedIn for LinkedIn groups, they had mentioned that you can only search for names. You couldn't search for keywords or headlines or anything like that. So we had I got an email from a listener, and he mentioned that he didn't have that option anymore. And I was like, well, that's interesting because I still have it. And then he sent me a screenshot, and he contacted customer support. And customer support told him that, yes, that feature has been removed. And he proceeded to freak out along with me. And then I got Martin. And
we
did some
it.
Screenshots. And apparently Martin's lost it too, and I still have it. So, Martin,
I'm
don't
sad.
Know what to tell you.
Yeah. I don't know what I did wrong.
LinkedIn's penalizing you now.
Yep.
But anyways, apparently this feature is being deprecated, which does cause some issues. But part of the reason why they are deprecating this feature is because there are too many spammers out there on LinkedIn, which has led them to do this. And this is really tough, especially for those who are social sellers, because that was the easiest way to find somebody and then actually send them a message through the group, which is the only way you could actually send a message to somebody who wasn't connected directly to you on LinkedIn without having to use an in-mail. So what we recommend, unfortunately, you have to, if you have this new feature, I would go to your groups, one of your groups, and go check to make sure that you don't have that bar. But you're going to have to go through an infinite scroll, basically, to find the person you're looking for. And until enough people get frustrated with this and they bring it back, or the next change they make in a couple of years, this is really the only option you have for searching and using it to message somebody through a LinkedIn group.
Yep. That's our tip. If you find something and want to add to it, let us know. Love to hear your views. Got some inside scoop of what, other workarounds that you like, let us hear as well.
Yep, exactly.
But we want to give you a heads up when we learn it. We want to thank audience and contacts for bringing these to our attention.
Yep, very much so. So next, let's mention our sponsor real quick. Thank you very much to NC State Technology Training Solutions. And if you're looking to sharpen your skills with additional professional education with technology solutions, then for anything from Photoshop to learning how to program to social selling with us, as well as you can earn your social media management certificate here at NC State Technology Training Solutions at the McKimmon Center in Raleigh. Just go to linkingintosales.com/NCSUTTS to learn more about the courses that they're offering.
Yay!
So, all right, well, let's get into it. Let's talk a little bit about some of the components of routine. Let's go ahead and start with you, Martin. And I know you had some good thoughts that we had put down here in the show notes.
Yeah, before we get into just specifics of social selling routines, part of it is staying motivated. Routines continue if you set yourself up to win. And there's several things to consider on it. Is, first of all, in coaching people, the big thing is, what does it take to be consistent over time? Not what do you think you ought to be able to do? You know, it's like, well, I ought to be able to get up in the morning and jog. Well, you haven't for several months. So how do we get a fire that succeeds with you and move with it? And there are several interesting facts about motivation. Some of us are motivated by goals, but a large number of us are motivated by challenges, questions, or solving problems. So you may have to, in your routine, set up your motivation so you're answering a question or you're solving a problem or you're attempting to work something out, and that often will motivate people more than others. So that's what we're going to start with. And the other big thing is the old thing of, what is the context? When I say context, what is the office environment? What gets you moving? What gets you out? Many people who work in sales operate almost as autonomous self-employed people in the way they operate. So they need to either get out of the house and get to a coffee shop, something that works. So they really get on fire. And one of the best stories of this was a salesperson I worked with, and he started really making high figures in sales, and he redid his whole office so it looked professional, got rid of his old clunky desk, and his sales started to plummet. And he realized what he needed to do is get that stuff out of the way, go to a yard sale. He got an old desk, got some old pictures. I think he put a calendar up on the wall, and he started making sales again. So don't underestimate the context you're in and what environment works for you. And you're asking, what does it take to keep a routine in existence and alive for you? And that's, to me, a fundamental of this. And the idea is setting yourself up to win. So that's what I want to start with.
All right, that's excellent. I mean, setting yourself up to win is absolutely critical. Otherwise, well, let's you know, not beat around the bush, you fail, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
And that's not good. What do you think, Elise?
That is why there is no ice cream in my house.
Yeah.
Right now. I learned the hard way.
Cookies in mine for the same reason.
There you go. Yep. Just can't have it around. Well, I put together an example of what I do on a daily basis. I'm not saying it's what everybody should do. It's simply what I've done that's worked well for me. And my hope is that maybe it'll give you guys some ideas if you don't have much of a routine yet. So I recently have started outsourcing a couple of pieces of what I used to do on my own. So I'm going to share with you guys what I did prior to outsourcing and what I've recently outsourced and kind of how it's going so far. So, trying to get better at the delegation type of thing, free up some time. But so prior to outsourcing, what I would do, I had a daily routine where every day at the start of the day, I had a piece of content that I wanted to share. Now that would be on Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, still doing the Google+ thing. It would be either a blog post that I had written or something that somebody I was following had written that I wanted to share. So I would share the post, and that was it. I was done for the beginning of the day. Now, at the end of the day, I had a checklist that I would go through to follow. And I still do this today. So the first thing I check is just to see, do I have any messages? Do I have retweets? Do I have messages on LinkedIn, Google+, meetup.com? So just look at any of your social platforms and check and see if you've got messages you need to respond to. The second thing is, if somebody looked at my LinkedIn profile that day, I would send them a connection request. I can't tell you guys how much kind of unexpected business I've gotten from taking LinkedIn connections just a little bit farther than somebody just looking at your profile or sending you a connection requests with no context. So I'll give you guys, I've got a script that I typically use for those connection requests. And so I would say, we'll use an example. Mark, I noticed you visited my profile. I'm curious as to what brought you by. If there's anything I can do to help you in your business, please don't hesitate to reach out. Now, I will say for the ladies out there, I've tested this numerous times. It's very important to say, what can I do to help you in your business? And I know that because sadly, I got some unsavory responses when I didn't include the in your business part. So be careful to include that when you're putting in that follow-up response.
Elise, that's excellent. Part of the great resource you bring to it, you know, of understanding that. Yeah. So good work.
I know. I used to get those all the time, and I had to tell them, Mary, five kids.
Married on my profile. I've got some that I've saved because they were so hilarious and so bad. I don't know if they're going to be public facing. They make
become an excellent and do a show.
Let's do that. Great white paper to download or ebook.
Oh my god! Journal of inappropriate LinkedIn responses. the third thing that I would do is I'm a big believer in giving to get. So what I mean by that is we all love getting a LinkedIn recommendation. But I'm a big believer in if I give enough of them, eventually people are going to give them back to me, right? So every day I think about who did I meet with that day? Who did I work with? Who I can write a recommendation for? And just, you know, it takes 2 minutes, do it. People appreciate it. It puts so much in your gratitude bank for other people just when you take the time to do that for them. So I'll write a LinkedIn recommendation if there's somebody I should write one for. The fourth thing is I prep for my meetings the next day by looking through the LinkedIn connections of who I'm going to be meeting with. And I see who in that person's connections would I like an introduction to. So I can be sure to bring it up when I'm meeting with that person the next day that, hey, I see that you know so-and-so. How do you know him? Would you be open to making an introduction for me? It's important in sales to always be looking for referrals. And you have to be proactive about doing it. And LinkedIn provides a great platform to basically handpick who we want to be introduced to. The fifth thing I do is you guys probably get, I'm assuming, a fair number of random LinkedIn connection requests where people just ask you to connect without any context. So I've got a custom follow-up email for that one too. So for that, this is something that my mastermind group and I kind of tested out different variations of. And this response works really well. So really quickly, I just say, thanks so much for the connection request. I'm happy to connect here and help you in your business in any way that I can. If you have a chance to answer 3 quick questions, that would help me to help you. First question is, what prompted your connection request? Second question is, what type of people are you looking to meet? Third question is, who out of my connections would be a good introduction for you today? And just by asking those simple questions, you will get so much follow-up from people saying, well, I noticed you were a sales coach. I'm actually really interested in sales coaching. And you say, wonderful. Why didn't you say so? Right? So it's just prompting and initiating that dialogue and also opening up the door for them to ask for introductions and to help.
At least one thing on that.
Yeah.
Do you keep these pre-written notes in something like Evernote or Google Docs or something? What's your preference to keep them up, you know, to keep them easily accessible?
Yes. So I have templates in Evernote where I just literally copy and paste. So I've got a notebook in Evernote for all of my LinkedIn template follow-ups, and I copy and paste them from there.
Yeah. So Martin's over here nudging me about Evernote.
He got off it, so I liked it, and I love it.
So there's also, I've used some Chrome plugins as well that you can take and save copy into, so that way you can easily take those snippets, and it's already built in, so you just hit, go over there, right-click on your message, and select from the menu to paste in whatever message you want to try. So we'll make sure that, I'll pull them up and put them in the show notes as well. But I think that having those easily accessible, however, as part of your routine, just make that tool part of the routine.
And Google has that version. What's their version?
Keep.
Yeah, Keep is Google's freebie version of Evernote, so to be fair.
It's not as robust as Evernote, but it's pretty good. You can check out Keep at keep.google.com. Thanks, Martin. And then Keep is also available on your mobile devices, too. So just kind of keep that in mind.
Very nice. I haven't tried
to keep that. Keep going.
All right. We're about done. So that is the daily routine. Now, this is something new that I'm implementing into my weekly routine. You guys will notice I'm kind of neurotic about my routines and my checklists, because if I don't keep them, I'm all willy-nilly, as we say in the South. So every week, moving forward, starting this weekend, what I'm going to be doing is I've got one of my LinkedIn saved search lists of VPs of sales who are local in my area. That is who I want to call on, being a sales coach. So I'm going to be pulling 10 people from my VP of sales target list, sending them connection requests, and asking if we can set up a phone call. So I will give you guys an update on how that's going, but I think it's just that small, consistent behavior that if I do 10 a week, I'm pretty sure by laws of numbers, something's going to come out of it. Now, the thing that I've recently outsourced from my daily routine is really just posting the content in the morning. You know, I was starting to get overwhelmed with looking for content, doing the posting. So I've got a VA who, she just does a post for me every day. I've given her a list of blogs that she can pull from, people who I like and admire and follow. So every day she posts, and then she sends me just an update email letting me know if I have messages to respond to, comments to respond to, et cetera, et cetera. For the time that I get back in my day, it makes sense for me to pay somebody else to do that piece of it. And I'm working on looking at what else I can outsource. But for now, just having a little bit of help with that is freeing up some time for me to do really what I should be doing and focusing more on my income producing activities.
And here's something I know you're doing with this too, is to making sure it keeps your values, principles, and the voice of you being amplified, not just automated, right?
Mm-hmm, exactly. Well, so we have ongoing conversations about the voice that she uses when she posts, and she's really good about just looking at what I've posted before. Whenever she writes something, it looks, I mean, it is my voice. It's what I believe. It's the way I would post it myself as well. So I check up on what she's posting, and really it's, she's US-based, so I think that may help. In that, she's actually local to this area, and I got her just as a referral from somebody else, and she's done a great job for him. But yeah, keeping your voice consistent, making sure that you're not just posting content for the sake of posting it, is key there.
All right. Okay. Cool. Very good. Definitely let us know how that keeps on going. I'm sure we'll talk offline more about it. Now, with regards to your routine of pulling 10 VPs of sales in the targeted area, I know that there's plenty of them around here. But how did you decide what 10 you're going to pull? Is it just you're just going to reach out to everybody, or do you have a specific, how are you figuring out which ones to pull?
Yeah, so I'll look through, and I typically look for kind of the hot ones first. So, and I mean that only by their industry, right? Although there's something to be said for a good profile picture. But I'll look and I'll just see if this is an industry I want to focus on this week. So I may pick, like this week I want to call on advertising VPs. Next week it may be mortgage branch managers. So I kind of go by who is most likely to want to actually meet with me and talk with me, and pull the list that way, pull the 10 that way. And then I've got a running Google Drive spreadsheet of the ones I've already talked to or already connected to off of that list.
All right. And as far as outsourcing, that may not be something feasible for your typical inside salesperson, just because from a cost perspective. But I guess it's, I haven't heard yet of organizations that are offering that to their sales teams from that standpoint. But I think that if you have the ability to outsource some of the stuff, and you're solo business owner or solopreneur that is in a high roles, a high stakes sales function, then outsourcing some of that stuff is better. There's actually a number of different folks that have talked about how it is better for them to pay somebody to do something for them, because how much money they make when they're doing what they should be doing is so much greater than spending the time to do it themselves. So that's something to kind of keep in mind. You have to kind of, what do they call it? Weigh your economy, basically.
Yeah, and play to your strengths.
Exactly.
Sharpen the saw off your strengths and make enough money so you can pay someone to do the others if possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's pretty simple. You just look at what are you making right now per hour. Everyone has an hourly wage, whether we're paid hourly or not. And what do you want to make? If you want to make $100K this year, Your time is worth like $48 an hour. Does it make sense to pay somebody $15 or $20 an hour to do those menial tasks? Probably so.
And some people really are better at those things than some of the more creative people are. I'm put me on an assembly line, I'd be fired in a day. I'd creatively put the bolts in.
You would make something very creative, Martin.
It would be entertaining. So how was he fired? I want to hear the story.
So, all right. Well, I think this is a good point. We've got to transition to some of the questions and thoughts we need to consider regarding the routine, but at least we're going to, in the show notes here, we'll include those two templates that you had mentioned. So if people want to go out, just go out to look for episode 84 on linkingintosales.com, mm-hmm. and you'll find them right there. So I guess, you know, one of the things that I find that some salespeople can kind of get confused with is understanding the difference between quota and goal. And mm-hmm. I wanted to open this up as a discussion for you guys and see what you guys thought about what you guys think the differences are, and then how can we help salespeople understand basically the bigger picture around goals and how quotas kind of feed to them. So, Martin, what do you think?
Well, I mean, we've got quotas, goals, and another word I think of is milestones along the way, or markers, you know, a subdivision that gives you, I want to break things into small enough pieces that I can see the next one to focus on. And that's, to me, an important piece in it. How about you, Elise?
I think that's a great point. And I guess when I hear the two words, they make me feel differently. So to me, a quota is something that's imposed on me by my manager, by my boss, that I have to hit to basically keep my job, stay in good graces. But a goal for me is something that's probably beyond my quota that excites me, something where I'm stretching myself and where I'm actually going to be motivated to do the activity tied to that. So I think as a salesperson, if you're only working just to hit your quota, you're probably not going to have that daily excitement and enthusiasm to go out and do the work that you need to do as if you had a stretch goal for yourself that meant something significant to you.
Mm-hmm. So I agree. I think goals definitely kind of depend on the context in which you use them. Goals can be just simple, like similar to milestones, where you need to cross each one of them in order to get to the, you know, the macro goal, I guess you could say. The way I kind of see the difference with quotas and goals, especially within a sales organization, would be that the company itself has a goal to generate, a forecast or a goal to generate that much revenue, and then every salesperson has a specific quota that they have to meet in order to help the company achieve its goal. Because after all, the individual is working for the organization to help them achieve their goals. That's why they're employed there. But I think that, you know, when you have, I think this is sometimes where we get, where there's a potential for some confusion with the, you know, what is a goal, what is a quota, what is a milestone? And there is definitely, I think there's a hierarchy to it, but, so let's move on to the next question here, which we have, which is, remember to ask yourself, you know, does your quota lead to your goals? You could, for example, have a quota of making a certain number of phone calls every day. And then at the end of the year, your macro quota or your big old goal is to, at the end of the year or end of the quarter, you've made 1,000 phone calls or whatever it may be, and you've generated, you know, such and such revenue number. I think we have to keep in mind that, you know, when we're looking at our numbers, do they ultimately lead to that goal that we need to reach out to, you think?
Yeah, I think so. And I'm gonna throw along with this is that idea of a question, a challenge along the way. Is there something like, how do I, and answer that question? Because again, you can layer a challenge onto quotas and goals to motivate yourself along with it. Elise, how about you?
I agree with you. Martin took my thought.
I was doing, did you pull that little fucking noise?
Shit, I have mind control. You guys covered it.
All right. So basically we need to create this concept of a behavior chain, right?
Yep.
So what behavior do I need to do to get to the next step, to do the next behavior, to get to the next step, to drive quota and then reach goal attainment? So now you mentioned, Elise, in your routine that you have certain steps that you follow along the way, such as reaching out to 10 people, right? And then hopefully by the end of the year, you've made your goal, or by the end of the week, you've secured at least one or two new clients. And you know, from those two clients, you know that you have an opportunity to generate a certain amount of revenue. So is there anything else that you can think of that might be in your behavior chain that may help drive quota and goal attainment?
Well, so my routine is typically, it's not a routine targeted to one specific account. So I think it's great to talk about what's your routine just tied to in general, how you want to approach your social selling versus what's your actual strategy and your behavior chain that you use for pursuing an individual account. So typically, if I'm trying to get in with a VP of sales or a company owner, I'll have like a 7 to 9 step process that I'll use in trying to get in touch with them. Because as we all know, it takes, what is the number, up to what, like 15 times now? 15 touches?
20 touches now.
Something crazy. So I mix it up. So I know based on my numbers, if I make 20 phone calls a day, I will hit my income goal for this year. That being said, you can't reach everybody with a phone call, right? Some of our targets are a little squirrely. So I will typically initiate with a phone call, follow up with a LinkedIn request, then I send an email, then I may do a quick little video introduction. And so I have a strategy that I use, and like you said, using that behavior chain that I kind of take people through that process until I finally get a yes or a no to a meeting.
Okay. All right. So one way that it's kind of similar to that, I think that around one way to understand behavior chains is to use a if this, then that kind of approach.
That's a good point. Right? You know, if this happens, then I'm going to do that. If this happens, I'll do that. Can you give like a little example of that?
Yeah. So one example, and we've talked about like this application, for example, on previous episodes, and we have a episode called, I think, the top 35 social selling tools that that you could potentially use. The approach is, or the application is called If This and That, literally. It's ifttt.com. Go check it out. It's absolutely free. But what it does is it connects a whole bunch of different web applications together so that if something happens on one, that will happen on the other. So you can kind of take that logical approach to your sales process, to your sales, social selling routine. So we're going to be actually coming out with a new course on social selling routine pretty soon, mm-hmm. within the next couple months, where we talk about how to measure your goals. And I think that in when we look at social selling KPIs, we need to look at the routine that helps get us to achieve our KPIs. So one of those KPIs that you can measure would be how many people that you are reaching out to on LinkedIn, right? So I've sent 10 messages today, or it could be I've liked 15 posts that were available from these 20 connections or possible.
If they look back at mine, then I will send like the 3 questions or something like that.
Exactly.
Or I noticed you looked at it, right?
Exactly. So I think just like that. So basically the sending out an email, somebody viewed your LinkedIn profile, commenting when someone has commented on your post, those sort of things. It's that kind of an approach. So I think that can be important too, if you understand, if you kind of map this out, write this down. So if somebody views my profile, send them a message. And you actually have the ability to do that on LinkedIn when somebody does view your profile. So it's kind of nice.
Elise, go ahead. Yeah. I heard a thought come up forward. Not that you don't always have lots of good thoughts.
They're rare, so we have to capture them.
Hey, that's not. Don't talk about Elise.
Martin heard me breathe. He was like, hold on, she's having a thought. I need
that's
to let this
not
happen.
True.
No, I just got excited because I realized, Greg, I've been using behavior chains this whole time, and I didn't even realize that. I've got my daily checklist.
Right,
I feel so fancy now. That's all. I just got excited.
That's good. That's good.
You're here to see, just natural born social seller.
That's right. Yeah, no, that's great. And Elise, I like it because it's sort of like looking at what those are and noticing them. And And I had lost track of the term behavioral chain, this chain of behaviors that work together.
Mm-hmm. So one thing to kind of consider too is that, you know, what happens when all of a sudden you're not hitting your quota or hitting your goals? Sometimes things just get in the way. You actually laid it out a great example in the beginning of the show where we talked about how this salesperson, he grew, and he redid his office, and all of a sudden he's in an environment that just didn't work for him anymore. He wasn't producing like he like he used to, and which means you actually have to go back and reduce back to where you're comfortable in the environment that you should be in, so that way you can reach your goal without distractions.
Right? Yeah, exactly. Don't underestimate the power of context is what I have to say from a coaching. What is the context that puts you in the peak performance? And Elise, you're really good. You know, so we might even get your juicing routine online. If enough people ask, you might tell you. But, you know, it's sort of like you're feeding the good fuel for your car, your body, your mind, your soul. What puts you in the optimum state for your routine? To quote my best friend in Japan, he says, when I meditate on a regular basis, it makes a profound difference in my life. That's why I stopped. And that's the human condition. There's a tendency as it's working to stop doing it and kind of keep an artful eye out or watchful eye out. Okay, I'm derailing myself, I need more therapy, just get back on the train sometimes, you know, mm-hmm. and keep an eye on it. And I think, and giving yourself permission to go, I'm off. What do I need to do to get back on? And I think part of a winner is being able to regroup quickly and forgive yourself and move on to it. And sometimes I have to take my own advice on this. My wife's good at going, I think I know a good coach that said that once. But, you know, that's part of this process. How are you setting up this routine that's doable? And for you, Elise, some people take to a regular routine very well, and others need to have a certain variety occurring to keep interest up on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's such a good point. And I naturally I'm a little bit all over the place, so I've had to create a bunch of routines for myself to keep myself on top of things. I think the biggest difference maker is making sure that you put systems into place so that you don't fall off the wagon in the first place. The best tool that I've found that I love is called Living Your Best Year Ever. It's by Darren Hardy. I am not an affiliate of his, but I swear to God, I would have so much more money than I do right now if I was, because I have told all of my clients about this thing. It's basically just a goal achievement system where you take whatever your goals are for the year and then reverse engineer them down into very simple daily, weekly, monthly, and quarterly benchmarks. And so every day I have a list of different things that I need to accomplish that day in order to hit my bigger goals for the year. And so I just check them off as I go throughout the day. And at the end of the week, I can look back and say, well, man, I needed to make 100 phone calls, but I only made 50. To make sure that that doesn't continue to go downhill, I'm going to have to add on an extra 50 next week and account for that. But I think you have to have a bigger purpose behind what you're doing. Like you said, your client, I think it was, who all of a sudden wasn't hitting his goal anymore, and he dumbed down his office environment in order to remotivate him. You have to have a why. You have to have a purpose. So it's taking the time, whether it's now at the beginning of the year or every quarter, to think about, why am I doing this? Because if it's not tied into anything that's motivating to you, you're going to fall off the bandwagon anyway.
Yeah, and that's actually an important point. It was the last point that thank you for addressing that, which was basically answer why you want this to occur. And if you can't answer why you want something to occur, then it probably shouldn't occur. And you probably should focus on something else that that will help you reach your quota and ultimately your end goal. Excellent. So let's go ahead and move into our next part here. So if anybody wants to review those, we'll have them in the show notes on the linkingintosales.com. So Elise, this is kind of a new part for us. We're going to – a new part of the show for us. And we've watched a number of motivational videos recently, and I love sales motivation because it gets me all excited and all that stuff. And I'm trying to channel that again in myself. But we figured let's have you actually do the motivational part. So from now on, at the end of the show, we're going to
ask Elise
to provide some sales motivation that will hopefully help you with being successful until the next episode.
And then we want to hear from you. You like it? Let us know.
Absolutely.
If you don't, write private notes or something. Go for a walk.
Go for a walk. I'll suddenly just disappear from the show.
Some cookies.
No explanation. Nobody will know why.
All right, go ahead. Leap over to you.
All right. So I put together a little motivational piece for you guys today, and I hope you like it. So I'm a little bit late to the game reading The Greatest Salesman in the World. Have you guys read it? Is that something both of you
have? I'm familiar with it. Yeah, it's probably good to reread it too. So
it's pretty amazing, and I'm wondering why I've waited my whole life to read it. But so I pulled a quote from it, and I just want to kind of riff on it a little bit for you guys. So the way it's written is a little bit antiquated, so I'll just give you a heads up on that. But so the quote is, "In truth, the only difference between those who have failed and those who have succeeded lies in the difference of their habits. Good habits are the key to all success. Bad habits are the unlocked door to failure. Thus, the first law I will obey, which precedes all others, is I will form good habits and become their slave." So what I took from that is that we're all slave to our habits, right? And so whenever I read something like that, I want to think about, okay, what's the why behind that? So I looked into the biology behind that concept. And so Brian Tracy, who probably most of the people listening to this podcast have heard of, he's done some really interesting work on habits. And in reading through his work, he explains that our subconscious mind has programmed all of our habits from birth and works to keep us constantly doing those same habits over and over again. So whenever we try to break a bad habit, we're going to feel uncomfortable. It's going to feel weird and out of our comfort zone, and we're going to feel a pull to go back to our old habits, even if we know they don't serve us. So I think knowing when you're trying to form a new habit, knowing ahead of time that it's going to feel uncomfortable and that it's going to be hard, and that's just part of our biology, is a helpful thing, because if we expect it to be hard, we're probably going to be able to push through it. It's not going to surprise us when it is. So my thought with it is, if we're slave to our habits, we might as well be a slave to good ones. And according to Og Mandino, the author of The Greatest Salesman in the World, the only way to get rid of a bad habit is to replace it with a good one, which makes sense intuitively. So thinking about how do we become slave to good habits, I would say think about a bad habit that you want to change in your life, whether that's not having a social selling strategy, smoking, watching TV for 2 hours every night. Think about what that bad habit is and what would a better version of it be. Start small. So if you're smoking a pack of cigarettes every day, smoke 19 instead of 20, right? So small goals here. If you're watching TV for 2 hours every night, a better habit would be to just cut it off a half hour early and go read a book before you go to bed. If you don't have a social selling strategy at all, pick one platform that you want to start to learn about. Spend 10 minutes a day learning it, working on it, becoming better at it, and just start to replace those bad habits with small good ones over time until you feel comfortable with it and it feels ingrained. And then I would say create a 10-day push goal where you implement that new habit for 10 days, do it every single day, and then measure your progress at the end. And you guys have probably heard there's varying research on how long it takes to form a habit. Some people say 21 days. Some of us are slower than others, and it takes us more like 60 days to form it, right? We're all raising our hands here. But if you decide that you need to do something every day for 60 days, it's probably going to be really easy on day two or three to say, this is tough. I'm going to take a break. I'll get back to it the next day. But if you just say for the next 10 days, I'm going to shut off the TV 30 minutes early and I'm going to go read, that's something you can accomplish. So set a 10-day push goal. Try it out. Push yourself. See what it looks like at the end of those 10 days to make that small tweak in your habit. And then do something a little bit bigger the next time and keep going from there. So that's Elise's motivation for the week.
Yeah.
I hope you guys are motivated.
Go out there,
knock it out of the park.
No, hey, I appreciate it. I actually, I'll admit here on the show that a long time ago, I actually smoked, and I know that now it's becoming more taboo, but I actually quit about 10 years ago because I just got tired of it. It was a habit I was sick of, and mentally I wanted to, physically I needed a little push, so I got the help to get it done. But I haven't picked one up since. So breaking habits are definitely possible. and replacing them with better habits is a great suggestion and great way to do that. I was thinking there for a second that I can remember how good it feels that when you want to institute a new habit, then when you finally cross the line, you're like, this is now part of my day, and you just know. And for me, it feels great when you know that you've set yourself you set the sights on creating that new habit, and getting there and actually creating that new habit just becomes part of you. That's a great feeling to have.
There's a real good point with this, Elise. That's so important that I know when you're coaching too with someone, they'll say, I want to change real fast. And one of the questions I'll sometimes ask is, how uncomfortable are you willing to be? You know, they're like, how fast can I change it? Well, how uncomfortable are you willing to be? And how willing are you to start identifying with that new behavior as you, instead of the one that's not working? So that was an excellent piece. And we want to hear from our audience too. This new piece we're rolling out in 2016.
Yep. Very good. So, all right, well, let's go to wrap up the show. I'll mention this one small thing here at the end. You've heard in previous episodes that we've talked about our new site, our new training site that we are launching, socialselling.training. And we'd like to let you know that it has, we have officially soft launching.
Soft launching.
So basically what that means is that we're not pushing out to everybody all over the world. Well, actually we are with this podcast, but we haven't started blasting out everywhere to let people know and done our sales outreach to bring folks in to start doing the training, because we're still making some tweaks and adjustments to the site. However, we did say that there would be two free courses.
Yes.
Free.
Right. Free?
Free.
Well, they must be little teasers that are incomplete classes.
This is 24 lessons across two courses. One is on LinkedIn profile fundamentals for social sellers, and then Twitter profile fundamentals for social sellers. And they're absolutely free. The way that we have designed the site is to build it like it was part e-commerce, part LMS, so a learning management system. So basically what you do is you go out to the site, you shop for the course you want to take, you add it to your cart, and you check out. There's if you want to take these two free courses, like I said, they were free and they will always be free. So if you're listening to this podcast 10 years from now, 10 years, so in 2016, as long
they'll
as
they'll be updated, up,
they'll be there.
Please, that's
their
advice.
They will probably be updated a few times.
Especially if Twitter goes to beyond 120. We got already changed.
Beyond 10K. Oh, yeah. That's another piece of news,
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Be on the lookout for that. But the courses will be absolutely free. And the reason why we are making them free and valuable is because it is time that you understand the fundamentals of your social profile. I've seen there's got to be 10,000 blog posts out there on how to do it. Finally, we've done the course.
Yep.
We've created it for you. You want the real way on how to do this and to stay current with it, then go out to socialselling.training.com. I just goofed up on that. Socialselling.training. There is no .com. So go to socialselling.training. I remember the Golden Rolodex.
That's right.
That was good. But go out there, take it, register for it, and of course you'll come into a community of others as this community builds. Other social sellers who are taking the courses, you'll be able to come in and ask questions, get into this with this community of folks that are very interested in social selling, and they want to share their success and tips with other folks too. So every course comes with a group as well.
And several things. One, it's a soft launch.
Yep.
So you see some challenges, feedback. We of course love to hear what you love to. Give it to us. We're working together, and what you'll see Greg and I in the beginning, but more is coming with Elise, so that's coming down the pike. In fact, the next course, Elise, we're bringing you in. You're just too bright to capitalize on the routine. And so what we want you to really get here is you're part of the first soft launch of this. Go through. You'll have questions to answer, and then a certificate of completion at the end, which is really cool because you can actually add it to your LinkedIn profile.
Exactly. And we'll show you how to do that. Now, we are going to be taking and rolling out at least one new course a month. Our goal is at the end of the year to have a total of 14 courses, 12 to 14 courses.
That publicly?
We did. So 10 or it was and, 10 to 12.
And we had a plan with Elise in it in the room working our way backwards. So now we have to do it.
We have a lot coming out, one new course a month, which if you want to take the course, then you just buy it.
Yeah,
but we will say this is that if you do take all the courses, we will then certify you. If you take all the courses and complete them, then we will then certify you in social selling.
Yep.
So that's our goal. We've actually had some industry folks come in and review it, and they like it so far. We've had a little bit of feedback from it, which is good, because we're going to make some updates.
Your first graduate?
No,
we'll do that later.
If you want to see our first graduate, go out to our Twitter account.
Yeah, you'll see it.
To sales.
Yep. Oh, and I just wanted, we have one more note of something else in here that we want to mention who has some good content on the topic. Our buddy. No, I guess not. Okay.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. Social selling routine. We have Kevin Thomas Tully. If you want more on social selling routine, go back to listen to the three episodes we had with him where we talked about social selling routine. I'll link to those in the show notes. Or if you go to linkingintosales.com and click on his picture on the front page, it'll take you to all the podcasts I've tagged with him in it that talks about social selling routine.
Thanks, Kevin.
Yeah, thank you. And we'll have to have you on again.
Elise, we'll let you, anything you want to add to that? Because you'll be rolling in more. Thank you.
I think we should bump it up to 36 courses. I mean, if we're
right. Yeah, okay.
2016.
Yeah, mean face.
You're glad you asked me what I want to add now? We're going to do it. Let's do this.
We can just cancel seeing your significant half then on the weekend.
I don't have to do as much of the work, so I can say.
All right. Well, everybody, thank you very much for listening to the Linking to Sales Social Selling Podcast. We'll be back again next week.
Yeah. This is Martin Brossman.
I'm Greg Heyer.
And I'm Elise Archer.
And you've been listening to the Linking to Sales Social Selling Podcast. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, YouTube, join our LinkedIn group, come out, like our Facebook page. Don't forget to follow our company page. If you leave a comment on the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and let us know about it, then we will send you this handy-dandy Linking to Sales vinyl sticker for you to take and put on your car, your MacBook, your cell phone, wherever you want to put it. Anyways, you guys have a great day. Have a great 2016.